Hello, friends and family, and thank you for tuning in to the Doug and Trussell Family Hour. I'd like to say a big hello to all of you who are about to get married. Congratulations, you should be excited. I picture you now sitting in your room, nervously looking at your wedding dress. You look great. Don't worry, you're beautiful. This is your special day. And you, sir, pacing around there in your pre-wedding room. Don't worry. The ring's in your pocket. And to all you wedding priests going to say the magic words that eternally bind two lovers together forever, may you channel some super powerful astral deity that actually makes the marriage work instead of collapse in flames because the two people who married each other were fucking liars who tricked each other into thinking they were something they weren't. And once the rings come on, the masks come off, and they realize that they are both human praying mantises in a struggle to see who can bite off the other one's head first. But for all of you true lovers, worshipers of the divine intelligence of the universe, who aren't trapped in crappy thought patterns, congratulations on finding someone real. Please have babies with that sweet, sweet darling. Because the world needs babies raised by lovers instead of babies raised by lizards. And to all of you on a trampoline right now, please be careful. Do you know that one of the number one causes of accidents in the United States among drunk children is trampoline accidents? The kids get in their parents' liquor cabinet, they have a couple of snorts of whiskey, and then go jump on the trampoline. Jump too hard, fly off the trampoline, go over the fence, and land in the neighbor's yard and get devoured by Rottweilers. This happens all the time. Every day across the country, at least 5 children spring off the trampoline into a nest of hornets, into a fire pit, into a spike. These trampolines are deadly, and they should be banned. At least banned from people who keep spikes or bees in their yard. God, I had some good times on the trampoline. Those were the days. Jumping up and down, staring off at the Georgia marsh, completely unaware of the fact that my parents' marriage was collapsing, and completely unaware of the fact that their marriage fell apart was going to make my life much better than it would have been otherwise. For all of you who've been through, whose parents have been divorced, do you ever think about what would have happened if they hadn't broken up? And you'd been stuck living with two miserable, cowardly people while you were growing up? God, Jesus fucking Christ. Because it's not like when parents are like, we're going to stay together until Jack goes to college. Ugh, that's the worst. That's so bad. I hate that martyred fucking parent thing. Don't do that, parents. Don't do the martyred thing. I'm giving my life for my little girl. That's not love. That's indulgence. You disgusting, selfish son of a gun.
I'm suffering for my baby.
Don't suffer for your baby. Be happy for your kids. The best thing you could do for your kids is be happy. That's what they see. Kids know it if you're fucking playing the whole martyr game, shuffling around the house like you're about to walk in front of Pontius Pilate, wearing a grim face that only belongs on an actor in reenacting the Passion of the Christ. What's wrong with you? Cheer up. Chip up. Chip up, parents. Come on. You got a sweet little baby. There's oxygen in the air. You've got hands and feet, a mouth, skin. You can experience reality. Are you really going to let yourself be miserable? You victim. Come on, flip the script. Figure something great out. You got sweet little kids. Tell them a fun story. That's fun. Tell your kids a fucking awesome ghost story. Freak them out. Instead of being a goddamn ghost story, tell your kids a ghost story. And to all you Italian cruise ship captains, pay attention. And to all of you who at this very moment are in nuclear submarines deep under the sea, I salute you. Thank you for spying on the fish. Well, before I forget, everyone, my God, what an incredible event is coming up this Saturday that I'm going to, and that I feel compelled to do an advertisement for, because I actually did a podcast with Julia Vickerman, who is an amazing local Los Angeles artist. She is doing one of the coolest art exhibits, which is coming up this Saturday at Meltdown Comics, which is a Kristen Stewart art exhibit. Now, if you don't know, as I actually didn't, Kristen Stewart is that kind of emotionless weirdo in the Twilight series. And Vickerman, being a brilliant artist, has assembled a legion of local artists and comedians to create visual interpretations of Kristen Stewart. It's happening this Saturday,
April 7th.
I'm going to be there. You got to go there. Meltdown Comics. There's going to be a link to it on my website. Does this podcast give you more or less pleasure than a cup of coffee at Starbucks? If it gives you more pleasure, why not throw 3 bolts of green lightning into the vortex that this show is? And if you don't want to donate, totally cool. I love you. It doesn't matter. It's certainly not necessary. You could just go to my forum at DuncanTrussell.com. Join the DuncanTrussell.com family forum and participate there. Those people there are super smart, and we're starting a new book, so you can jump right into the book club. We're starting Watership Down. So join the forum. And if you do, I can hear you. You think I can't hear you? I hear you thinking this right now. How do I decorate my walls? How do I decorate the walls of my family morgue with pictures related to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour? Simple. Go to DuncanTrussell.com. Go to the shop and buy one of my limited edition Duncan Trussell Family Hour chaos posters, where I'm getting possessed by the spirit of my demonic puppet, Lil Hobo. I'm only making 666 of these, and I'm selling them for $33.33 each, and that includes shipping and handling. And they're giant.
And to those of you who have donated and continue to donate, namaste. I love you more than I can express. May our souls intertwine like snakes coiling together in the primordial darkness of eternal time. We are one mind. We are one spirit.
Now, before we get to my brilliant guest, please enjoy a new segment on the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. What do you do? What do you do?
I'm a seller of dirty socks, old shoes. I don't sell underwear anymore because those people are kind of cheap.
People who buy underwear are cheap?
Yes, people who have foot fetishes, they're willing to fork out the cash, and I don't know, it's just, I don't feel like, I feel like selling socks, they're not really worth as much, but selling underwear, like, you have to send pictures of, like, your ass, and, like, you doing things with the underwear, and so I feel like it should be worth more. It's like, if I'm gonna take all these, like, pictures of me doing weird shit with my underwear, I want to get, like, at least like $200, and nobody's gonna spend that much.
Nope.
But I don't. Huh?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't care about sending pictures of my feet because they're just like fucking feet.
So, what's the going price for a pair of underwear?
A pair of underwear. Some people, I don't understand why, because like when you put up the ad on this website that I use called Eband. You have to pay $5 to at least have your picture next to the listing, which will definitely help you sell. And some people, they sell their underwear for $15. I just feel like that's a lot of trouble to go through for $10. Plus, you have to ship the item and buy, like, a little bubble envelope to send it in.
How many items do you sell a week?
About 3.
3 pairs of socks?
Well, sometimes it's a pair of shoes and a couple pairs of socks. Or maybe, like, pictures or videos of my feet putting on socks or shoes. Or, like, sometimes they want you to, like, spread your toes, which is really weird. But, I mean, I guess, so you got to do what you got to do.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're just coming out of a recession. It's not like,
yeah.
It's not like the old days of selling socks when you could just send a pair of socks to a pervert and he'd be happy.
Yeah.
Like when my mother used to sell socks, she didn't have to spread her toes. She just bagged them up and sent them to New Jersey and got a nice check in the mail.
Sometimes it helps to write like a little note or to put stickers on the baggie because then it seems more charming.
You put sticker, you write a little note?
Yeah, I have like this these little like, they kind of look like children's stationery because it kind of gives it like a Lolita effect. And I just write thank you in this like terrible cursive, and sometimes I misspell things on purpose. It has to kind of smell like corn chips if you want to sell them, or else the people are going to be upset.
And what happens then if somebody, have you ever gotten a complaint letter that the socks didn't smell bad enough?
Not yet. I just started this this year.
So this is a fledgling business. This is like one of the new businesses that is a result of Obama getting the nation back on its feet.
Nope. Well, I think there's always just internet perverts who are going to find ways to get girls dirty socks. And now with PayPal, it makes it a lot easier.
When you wash your feet, do you feel like you're kind of adding hours of work to what you have to do? Do you feel weird washing your feet these days?
I mean, they get washed when they're in the shower. I don't, like, sit there and scrub them all day. They're not, like, terrible.
You can't scrub them. I mean, that's like throwing away inventory. I can see how you sell a lot of socks. Here's my question, and it's an unethical thing, but couldn't you just get a bunch of your guy friends to wear girls' socks around for a couple of hours and have a nice, like, bin filled with stinky socks so that you could have more output?
But then they would want the money.
Well, those aren't real friends.
Yeah, but they're jealous because, like, whenever I talk about it, they're like, oh, I feel like I'm not in on a scam. I wish the girls had foot fetishes and wanted to buy my dirty socks.
Well, your guy friends are idiots because all they have to do is put up a picture of a pretty girl and say their girl socks.
I told them that. I told them that I would wear the socks for the picture and then they can wear them and make them stink.
And what did they say?
Well, they don't want to pay me a cut.
They don't want to pay you anything.
No. They were like, that doesn't even take much time for you. All you have to do is put on a pair of socks and then take them off. It's like, I'm helping you. I'm modeling the socks for you.
Well, here's the cool thing. Because I'm sure this is like sock fraud is probably a big problem in your business.
Yes.
Because how are you going to compete with somebody who's running a full-scale sock vending operation and they've just got a bunch of dudes stomping around in the back in lady socks and then they're selling those?
Well, I mean, you just have to get some clients who are kind of devotees and then they just keep asking for your socks in particular. Like, it's like they have a relationship with your foot scent. They don't want to go to anybody else.
So they get addicted to the smell of your foot.
Yes.
And they know. So in other words, if you sent them like a pair of...
They would know.
They know right away. They're like, this is bullshit. This is not your foot. This is not the smell of my darling baby doll Spanx feet.
Yes, they would know because they have my other socks that they can compare them to. I'm sure like that they lose scent and that's why they keep trying to get more socks for me because it probably fades away.
How many clients would you say that you have?
4.
Well, we got to get you more clients. That's what this is for. You need more people.
I only have so many feet.
So I want you to tell me, what are your goals in the next 3 months for your sock business?
I guess just start charging more.
So you want to up the price of your socks?
Yes. Oh, I also have this idea for toe jam where I put, like, jelly on my feet and then scrape it back and put it into, like, the jar that it came out of and then maybe do cute little labels.
See, there you go.
I also thought about expanding into selling of urine.
Is that a big business out there?
People, they just buy, like, strangers' pee on the internet and drink it.
See, now I think
you could get more. You just keep drinking water, and then you just produce more product.
Yeah, there you go. You're like a milk cow, but for piss.
Yes, and then I wanted to kind of like play off of the fact that I live in Tennessee and then put them in mason jars and then call them Tennapee.
How do you send pee in the mail? Isn't that, can you get in trouble for that?
It's illegal, but I mean, no one's going to open your mail. You just have to, just don't be shady when you're sending it. And I mean, you have to package it really tightly so it doesn't spill.
Yeah, don't be shady when you're sending your your urine to perverts across America. You got to be careful. That's not, well, because well, inevitably somebody's going to like accidentally drop it uh-huh. in the mail, in the post office, and you're going to get pee all over everybody's mail.
Say that the lemonade's spoiled.
You're planning what you could do if things go wrong. You have an idea now for ways to expand your business. You want to start selling pee, and you want to start selling jelly that you put on your feet and put back into the jar.
So that's, yeah, people will pay more for that because it's edible.
It's amazing talking to you. I think you've really shined a light on this. I feel like we barely, actually, to be honest, I feel like we barely scratched the surface of the sock vending underworld. But I'm running out of time for this segment. Do a commercial for my listeners. Tell them where they can get a pair of your socks. Okay. Let's hear it.
Hi, my name is Baby Doll Spank, and I've been wearing these socks for 3 days. And you could buy my socks. Oh my god, I'm so bad at this.
You gotta get better. Listen, you gotta take this seriously. You wanna be the Trump of socks. Action. Yes.
Okay. Hi, my name is Baby Doll Spank, and I've been wearing these socks for 3 days, and they can be yours for $50. You could email me at babydollspank@yahoo.com.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You gotta try to, let's do it one more time. Sound a lit slightly, be in character. Be in character. Action.
Hi, my name is Baby Doll Spank, and I've been wearing these socks for 3 days. You could have them for $50 if you email me at babydollspank@yahoo.com. I could also sell underwear, toe jam, and urine.
Well, there you go, everybody. That's Baby Doll Spank. Why not buy some of her urine or toe jam socks or underwear? If you could, you know what? If you don't want to smell, you can wear them. So, if they fit.
You could also buy my garbage.
How much for your garbage?
Well, it's kind of a grab bag. It's a mystery, so you don't know what may be in there. But probably like $40 a bag.
What are some possibilities of what we can find in your garbage?
Used Q-tips, old makeup, snot rags, maybe like a tampon.
Well, there you go. $40 and that could be all yours. That's a great deal. Okay, Baby Doll Spank, thank you so much for appearing on the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. We're definitely going to have you back. In a few months, I want to hear that your business has expanded.
Yes.
And I want to hear that you've gotten more than 4 clients and are building your sock empire.
Today's guest is a brilliant, dark comedian, a really good friend of mine, an awesome writer, and somebody I used to do a show with in Echo Park in a record store, the Chief Cornfoot Comedy Hour. We used to, it was a really great show. We were going to buy corn chowder for everyone before the show, but then we ended up realizing that that was incredibly stupid and just bought a keg of beer. But I have a lot of wonderful memories with this sweet man. So everyone, please send your telepathic love rays deep into the heart chakra of my friend, the hilarious comedian, Matt Dwyer. Matt Dwyer.
God Duncan damn, Trussell.
Welcome, welcome.
It's great
welcome.
To be here.
Yeah, you, God, that chanting sounded really cool. And it's so funny how hypnotic that chant is.
We could have just done that for the whole podcast.
I'm thinking about doing an hour chanting podcast eventually. I am
for
thinking,
real?
Yeah, just an hour of chanting so people who are freaking out on mushrooms can have something to listen to and kind of come down a little bit because it
That's
helps.
That's a good idea. I usually just, you know, put on some fish if I'm freaking out on mushrooms. Then I freak out more.
What kind? Tilapia?
Yeah, I put on some tilapia. Or carp. You know, I'm from a ghetto of outside of Chicago. And you have to be careful because there's a vein in carp. If you eat it, you could kill yourself.
Oh, you mean cook it. See, when I'm having a bad mushroom trip, I'll get a big swordfish and cut it open and actually put it on.
There's nothing better than a knife and some blood when you're peeking.
I love it. If you're freaking out on mushrooms and you want to not freak out, call your local grocery store, order some fish with the guts.
And just, yeah.
Cut it open and stick your face right in that fucking fish crack and just take a good snort of guts. So you get fish guts in your nose and and you will feel so much better.
And then walk into a daycare center.
Oh, there's nothing that will make that bad trip get better than walking naked into a daycare center covered in fish guts.
Because children are so innocent and sweet, and it rubs off on you. You'll just sense this innocence and openness to life.
Yes,
in those kids' eyes.
Well, I can remember when I was in daycare and a man walked in naked, covered in fish guts, and it was probably the happiest day of my life.
Yeah, it did happen several times for me, and it's just like it's any time I'm just. Like I'm having trouble sleeping, I just go back to that space of the man with the fish guts, and I just it puts me right out.
What a great space.
It's a great safe place.
What a great space, flying through space with a man covered in fish guts.
It's
how does that nursery rhyme go, the one about the man who takes you into space who's covered in fish guts if you're a bad kid? How does it go again? No, it goes, no more of your butts, the man with fish guts. I can't remember, how does it go?
He'll take you to space and throw you in the ruts. Hard to think that I, you know, did improv for so many years, and that's now what I'm capable of delivering.
Little Jack Smith lied too much. He's taken away by the man with fish guts. How did it go?
Yeah, it was, and then little Susie Lee didn't hold her pee, and now the man with the fish guts is taking her up the tree.
yeah, it goes. little Bill Smith, he killed his sis. Now the man with fish guts is making him drink piss. I love that poem.
Oh,
my grandmother would come in. My grandmother had some kind of foot condition that and I had to rub salt in her pussy at night to help her feet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I would salt Granny's vagina, and as I was rubbing salt into her pussy, she'd say those poems, the fish gut poems.
Well, that's why the Morton's salt girl holds an umbrella.
Are you fucking kidding?
It's really because if you look closely enough, it's two labias she's holding.
Holy,
it's like a labia and
shit.
Yeah. Like you can squint your eyes at the Morton's salt girl, and you'll just see if you squint your eyes, she becomes the clitoris.
Oh my God, you're totally right. Yeah. I totally. God damn, you're right.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of those companies. Did a lot of tricks like that. You know, it's subliminal advertising.
Yep. That's amazing. This is something that I remember being fixated on when I was a kid, is this idea that, like, advertising executives actually try to trick you by putting like, because remember the
like they'd put dicks in the
dicks in the ice cubes.
Yeah, I remember. And then there was a guy with a boner in the camel on the camel cigarettes.
Guy with a, like standing. It's kind of like a guy standing with his hands on his hips, and he's got a boner.
Yeah, yeah, no, because I used to jerk off to the camel all the time because there's a. Because I liked a guy with a boner. There, I said it. I jerked off to men with boners as a kid.
What's
I'm
wrong
totally,
with that?
I don't know.
What, are you a homophobe? You can't jerk off to a guy with a boner?
That, you know, in a weird way.
Open your mind, bro.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to open my mind. It's just a cartoon anyway, on a camel.
Cartoon to you.
Maybe I was really jerking off to the camel.
I mean, I think it's as Fritz Perls would say, it's the gestalt. You're jerking off to the whole thing. It's not just the
That's a good
guy
point.
With the standing with his hands on his love handles.
And a pyramid.
Yeah,
there's a pyramid in the background.
We're seeing
I'm jerking off to Egypt.
What a that is every day in Egypt. A man's it's the same thing they say. The guy who brings roses to Edgar Allan Poe's grave. When he's not doing that, he goes to Egypt and stands in front of the pyramid with his hands on his love handles and a semi-erect penis in a camel.
I'm going to start doing this every year on Valentino's birthday. The woman in red brings the flowers. I'm going to start showing up in a football outfit, and I'm going to tackle her. So I'll never let her get to the gravesite again.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Break her fucking legs, man. The last
every thing, year, I'm going to stop her.
We don't need these grave freaks bringing flowers down to the... What is that, man? Like, what the fuck? That's somebody who's trying to get tourists to a cemetery. Just, like, he dresses up like a... You know the guy, the mysterious Edgar Allan Poe brings...
I've never heard that, actually.
Oh, you've never heard that?
No.
A guy used to come out there with a bottle of cognac and a single red rose, and he'd lay it on the grave. And then people would gather around to watch, and it was like or try to catch him.
They probably paid the guy, right?
He stopped showing up.
He died.
Yeah, he probably...
Or maybe one of my people tackled him.
Yeah, one of your fucking... grave tacklers! It could be a show where just like where guys just tackle famous grave visitors... I like, you know, when I was in Paris, I...
Uh-huh. Oh, did you go to Jim Morrison's gravesite?
Indeed, I did. There was a line of...
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wait, there was a line of how many?
There was a line of 50 Asian tourists going in front of it and two depressed goth girls. It was really funny, man. Somebody put a harmonica on his grave. But
he's... I hate him. I mean, I just, like...
I'm the Lizard King.
I always thought it was funny that in the Doors movie, his last line before he goes and dies, the great American poet's last words are, what? Let's go get a taco.
That's pretty funny.
I know, but it's...
That's a good thing to put in there. Are those notoriously his last words?
I don't know, but it is in the movie, and it's just, it's not...
This is a nerve-wracking thing for me, man, and I think this has been brought up from time to time, but the... Whenever anybody dies a violent death, inevitably their last tweet pops up on some news show.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the new wear clean underwear is like worrying about what you tweet.
Oh, like they show your last tweet? Like, or yeah. I thought you meant randomly. Like if I got hit by a car when I leave here, somebody's going to just, you know.
Whatever your last tweet is, if like something happens and a saw flies out of a construction site and severs the top of your head and it makes national news, like to make national news, it can't just be a random fucking thing.
Right.
You can't just have a heart attack. You got to get stung by bees and then have
your face
chewed
up. All my tweets are like about, you know, sexual dysfunction.
Well, you're going to, that's what'll be on CNN. Here was his last tweet. And it's whatever your tweet is, I can't get it up.
I had a tweet like that's what would be my last tweet will be that I watched a puppy bowl with my dog and point to the television and say that could have been you if you weren't such a faggot.
Oh my god! See,
that's how I treat my dog like my son because I'm not gonna have kids.
How do you know?
I'm pretty sure my dick's broke.
Get out of here!
My balls
are
broke.
You got a fine dick.
I mean, it works, but I've had a lot of unprotected sex with women.
Oh, it got sealed by God.
I think God, I don't know. I mean, because I dated a girl for a year and a half. We lived together, fucked all the time.
Yes.
Months after we broke up, the next dude she was seeing got like pregnant like instantly.
The dude got fucking pregnant.
The dude got pregnant.
That's so fucked up. You got so lucky.
I know.
Oh, man, you could have gotten fucking pregnant.
I had one of those gallstones once. I couldn't imagine a baby.
This is something, man, that guys never ever really think about, which is imagine if you really want to understand what it means when a woman decides to let you fuck her, imagine what how things would be different if when guys fuck girls, there was a chance that you could fucking get pregnant, and in like a certain amount of time, you're going to have to shoot something so huge out of your asshole that it's going to rip you in half, and it's going to cost you so much fucking money. Think about that. That's crazy. Like, that's the, it's so strange that this is when a woman is having sex, that's something she has to think about.
No, maybe that's, I'll blame that for why I can't get them to orgasm. They're so preoccupied with me having their baby.
They're thinking about that little Dwyer swelling up in their
being linked to me
stomach.
For life?
Yeah.
Sleeping with me has already been a bad choice. Being stuck with me for a lifetime?
Yeah. You're out of your mind. You're a handsome. For those of you, go on DuncanTrussell.com and look at a picture of Matt Dwyer. This is one of the funniest, most handsome men that I know, and he's doing what we call in the comedy business self-deprecating humor right now.
True.
He's also a really good writer. Are you kidding? Girls would love to have your sweet fat baby popping out of their pussy.
If any of you people see my picture and want me to put a baby inside you, I will.
Guys, take a look at the picture if you would like to have this man's sweet fat baby spraying out of your beautiful vagina.
My new goal, 5 babies by the end of this year.
There you go. That's
from
better.
This podcast only.
See, you got to be careful, man. If you keep talking like that, you're not going to have a child. If you keep doing this thing where I don't know if I'm going to have a baby, you're not going to have a baby.
I want to. Babies make us whole.
Yeah, man. They're
and I want to feel like I want to be a part of a family. It's important to me.
You do.
I want a wife.
Don't
I want,
you want
a beautiful,
family.
I want.
A,
I do.
Don't
I want,
you want a family.
I think there's nothing better than. You know?
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want a family? Some warm, sweet darling to hold in the dark of the night, and a darling child that you can go and dandle and dondle on your knee and roll a blanket around it and grease its head with Crisco and put a candle at the top of its head.
That does.
And bury it in the sand and then surround it with like a spiral of honey and then going into its mouth so that the ants follow the spiral down into its mouth and devour his innards, and he collapses down into the earth, and all that's left is that beautiful candle sticking out of the grass. Wouldn't you like that?
I would. Yeah.
You do want a family.
I do want a family. Thanks for turning me around on that. Yeah.
You do want a family. But in all seriousness, wouldn't you like, I mean, do you really, you don't, because I think this is something that, like, when I was younger, I was like, fuck that, man. I never want a family. I want a
See, I'm the other. You really want kids?
Oh, well, it's not like I don't want kids.
I think if I don't know. I don't.
I think you'd be. I think if you find the right person, then why wouldn't you want to have a sweet little dandelion tot? A sweet little darling to pick out clothes for and then sandpaper its nose down?
Yeah, that sounds pretty great. I'd like to just have a gaggle of truckers come over when my daughter first hits puberty.
Yeah.
And just like $50 each, they fucking just pass her around for like a half hour.
Yep.
Half hour each. I don't want to limit it.
Well, I mean, you're a businessman.
Yeah.
That's like the old classic kind of like, that's like the classic Sears kind of old school 60s, 50s American business model where you're like, I want my customers to be satisfied and the profit,
yeah.
and it's worth the profit margin shrinking, or shrieking for that matter. But I think that I don't know. I really do, man. I really think that I'm not closing myself off to the idea. It's not like I go around every day thinking, my God, I've got to marry me a woman and have a family and a child. But I think that there's some warmth to be had from it. And most people I know who are married, wait a minute. One person I know is married is quite happy.
I know a couple, I think. I don't know, man. Anytime I see a family travel, anytime I'm on the road and I see a family traveling, inevitably one of the two, usually the husband, look like they want to fucking murder everybody.
Yes. I've seen that. The ashen face, the kind of like frozen face and the still kind of weird look. And yeah, I know what you mean, man.
But I think a lot of people don't question. Like, I think a lot of people just get married, have kids. You know, like they, like you have to go to college. Like, oh, well, get a college and then I can mean to get married.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, so I think most people have kids when they're not prepared to do it. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think right at this point in my life, I'm like, there's no, like if I got somebody pregnant.
Yes.
Ladies out there.
Yes.
I would, like, I would be in a fucking state of panic because I'm like, I'm not emotionally right. ready. I got a dog. I really love my dog.
Yep.
And but I don't know if I'm ready for the next step.
You got to take like the Crowleyan steps towards it, you know, summon the woman in a ritual and then impregnate the woman, not just because you love her, because you want her to spawn the child of the new aeon. You want her to give birth to a being that is going to help evolve the species. That's why you should have a child.
See, yeah, I keep looking at it all the wrong ways.
You're looking at it the wrong
looking
way.
At it the wrong
go
way.
To college and fucking find some dipshit at a local goddamn laundromat and get your fucking seed in her. And
see,
make
I was thinking about going back to college at my age and seeing if I could meet a nice
That's
young wife.
That's a great idea. There you could, be, dude. If you were a fucking professor, you would be the fucking professor. You would just fuck and you would fuck your way through a
that's
campus.
That's how I met. I was a teacher at a college for a while. I did get some pussy.
It would be like a dick tornado spinning through campus. I can't imagine what would happen to that campus.
It'd be great.
You gotta keep you off campuses. You would. That's. I don't go to colleges.
But every time I play colleges, I'm always like fucking yeah, like I'm gonna, and then nothing ever happens.
Did you ever hear the story of that raping comic?
Vaguely.
His signature is at the Hermosa Beach Comedy Magic Club. They have all these like the classic signatures all over the wall, like at the comedy store. It's some
they
kind of
take his off.
No, it's still there. It's on a brick.
Who did
it's
he rape?
There. He would. It's something that I always have thought would be the most.
It
awesome
would be
movie.
The best if you're a serial rapist because you're like you're fucking out of there.
You know how they caught him?
How
they noticed that the rapes happened to exactly follow his tour. So he would tour colleges. When he was done doing stand-up, he would rape co-eds.
Oh, he wouldn't like date rape. He would go out
no,
and
no,
rape.
No, no, he raped.
Oh.
He was like a fucking rapist, like in the classic sense of the word. He would go into their, whatever he would do, he'd go in their dorm room. Supposedly he would like, I guess he was, I don't know, he must have disguised himself because they would have been like, that's the guy, I was just laughing at his jokes. That's the worst.
Why are you raping
or
me?
Or even worse, what if you didn't think he was funny? You go see a bad comedy show and you're getting ready for bed and the next thing you know, the comic's climbed through the window and is raping you. It's like he just raped your ears and now he's finishing off the job. But so what happened is he caught wind that he was being pursued or that the FBI had figured out his game. And so he was supposed to be performing on a cruise ship and he raced to the cruise ship, got on the cruise ship thinking somehow that the cruise ship, once it disembarked from the port and made it into international waters, he would be safe. So he gets on the cruise ship because it was going to Barbados or something. And he was just going to leave the country for good. He gets on the cruise ship and the captain's like, the FBI is coming to get you. So we can't leave until you're arrested.
Wow.
And he was going to perform on that cruise ship and he got arrested. I can't remember his name. I'll post it on the comment section of this.
Yeah, I know somebody who got roofied on a cruise ship, which is, if you kind of think of it, it's a kind of evil genius because it's like, and then the next day, fucking, you don't remember who it is, and then you don't know who.
So your friend actually got like raped.
She didn't get no. She didn't. She luckily got, but she like pieced it together, and her friends pieced it together. She because they were doing some of her friends were doing a show, but it's like that's kind of like.
Ugh.
Pure evil genius because it's like then it's like you're on international waters.
Ugh.
And then there seems like there's got to be a loophole though if you rape somebody on a you know princess cruise.
You know what? I hope that law never gets named after me.
It already is. The boat's named after you, princess.
You know what? I never want a law named after me. That's something I never want. I never want it.
I'm glad you just reminded me of it. I've deleted my file with all my jokes on it, so now I'm trying to piece them back.
Was that one of your jokes?
No, I had a joke. It was that I always knew I'd see my name in lights. I just didn't know it would be an Amber Alert.
Amber Alerts. Dude, I can't believe there's such predatory humans on the planet. It's such the... This is the thing I've been realizing is like... the reason everyone's so paranoid and freaked out right now is because they think the news is an accurate reflection of reality. But the shit that lands on the news is only... the most abnormal crimes make it on the news, the most abnormal things out of the, what is it, 6 billion people on the planet?
7 billion.
7 billion people on the planet. Every day, there's like three of us. Out of that many billions of people, there's three of us who do something stupid. Three. That's it. Three. But those are the ones who make it on the news, and you see that, and you begin to assume that everyone in society is fucked up. Because the second thing that you notice when you're on the news is these fucking painted trollops who are now delivering the news. You know, the new thing on Fox is to get these kind of like...
It's like co-course.
It's like after you get done like with a lifetime of stripping and you're entering into your middle age, the next step is to become a Fox News correspondent. And so you go on there and you like... So you see these kind of like vapid, made-up, weird, angry, demonic types of people delivering this information that, and so then you begin to think, oh, the people delivering the messengers must reflect the norm. That's what a normal person's like, because they're the ones giving the news. And you hear what they're saying and you think, oh, that reflects the norm. Everyone's crazy and killing each other, but nothing about it's normal. It's a fucking harlot talking about very rare forms of death. There's nothing in that that's like normal. And so then people like get really paranoid when they're walking around all day.
Oh, you know, that reminds me that it's a similar thing. You see that hot coffee documentary?
No.
It's about, you know, remember like 10, 15 years ago whenever the woman spilled hot coffee on herself and she sued McDonald's? And it became a big thing where people were like, ooh, what are you suing McDonald's?
Oh, yes.
I saw somebody did a documentary about it. Cool. And they show the burns. They're fucking, the coffee was like 108 degrees.
It's too fucking hot.
I mean, her whole, it's fucking gruesome, but it was, then there was all these like
people. Did she win?
She did win, but then the citizens, supposed citizen groups, which were actually corporately backed.
Yes, always.
So turn it around and made it look like, oh, well, you're suing for getting spilled, like, put a lid on
it. It's fucking hot, you stupid whore.
Yeah, but it was like, it was abnormally hot. It was like... I forget what coffee should be, but it was like over 100 degrees, and it was like it spilled on her.
Listen, if your coffee's so fucking hot that it's going to burn your fucking, like, badly burn your leg, how are you going to drink it? They heated the coffee up too much. It was like boiling. They poured boiling water into a cup and gave it to her. That's what happened.
She was a sweet, old, innocent lady.
How'd her legs look?
But pretty good for, like, she was like 80. They were pretty tight. I mean, outside of the burns, which I don't have a problem with.
Nothing like fresh burns when you're humping a senior.
This is what the other thing like that irks me is. I saw somebody posted on Facebook the other day. You see the picture of the Marine guy in his wedding photo, and he's like, he's severely, severely burned.
Yes, I've seen it.
And then his bride looks terrified.
Yes.
Well, somebody's reused that photo, and they're like, like and repost this to show your support. It's just like the most manip. I'm like, so yeah. Like. I had to fight myself not writing, like, oh, this is, like, I wanted to say something.
Well, you should.
Because it's manipulative. It's like, first of all, this is manipulative, and it's like, it's also hilarious. Look at him.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you fucking, like, that fucking picture has been used in a lot of different ways.
I've seen it for, like, 10 years now, it seems. It's been out there for a while.
Well, it's like it's been used as anti-war picture. It's been used as, like, all kinds of different fucking ways with that. It's probably just a bad picture. I mean, by the way, like, it's just like they probably caught a bad moment. Like, there's probably a good one where she's not, like, looking terrified. She's obviously loves the guy. She lives with him. It's not suddenly they went to their fucking wedding night and she noticed that his face had been seared off.
I know. You'd feel pretty, I mean, you'd be pretty hard. If you were engaged to somebody and they went off to war and got crispied and came back, you'd feel pretty, you couldn't be like, hey, I think maybe it's, we should start seeing other people.
Who, when you say you, who do you mean?
You, Duncan Trussell.
Fuck that. If I'm, if first of all.
I guess love.
Yeah, if you love somebody, you don't care if their fucking face got crisped. You got to deal with it. I'll tell you this, man. It's far worse to fucking be with someone whose face doesn't get crisped, but then you realize that their heart looks like that. That's far worse. That's
true.
And that's far more fucking common. Because, like, you end up with, like, you can, from time to time, people will end up with people, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, shit, that's what's, oh, shit, you're not, oh, my God, you're a fucking Nazi, or you're a, who knows what, you're racist, or you're a fucking, who knows, it happens all the time.
It takes a long time sometimes, like, it doesn't, like, that whole, like, 6 months in a relationship, you sort of start seeing the real person.
Yeah.
But it takes a while where you're like, oh, fuck, you're insane.
It's called the large Marge effect in science.
Is it really?
Remember in Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, that's what I...
That fucking thing comes out. Well, no, I mean, for me, the solution to it is just to, like, if you are beginning to hang out with a girl who you think's wonderful, the greatest gift, or a guy who you think's wonderful, the gift, the truly loving thing to do is be yourself. Don't start writing weird shit to them in a kind of like trying to imitate old English or something, you know, like... Don't fucking start writing like flowery fucking writing to them if you don't write flowery writing. Don't like act like you don't play video games when you play video games.
See, I think that's why I have such a short success rate with my, because I think when women meet me, at first it's like, oh, funny guy, and he's kind of this and that, and he's a little exciting, and he's got this weird life. And then, like, you know, but then I have a really fucking awful dark side, and I don't really hide it. So about 2 months in, they're like, oh,
you're not.
I'm out.
That is what you're like. You really are dark when the 2 months in. Or you were saying you.
I mean in general, but I think, like, once they, but I don't hide it. I'm not, like,
that's great.
I'm not presenting my.
Well, then you're not a.
But I know, but I mean, I think that's why girls take a fucking hike pretty quick, because it's like, it's fun at first, and then they're like, oh wait, there's also an underbelly of this guy.
Yeah.
And they don't usually, and I don't blame them. I get pretty dark.
Okay, what's the underbelly, Dwyer? You just seem so sweet. What's happening in the dark of the night over at the chateau?
At my studio apartment in Glendale? That's right, ladies. Studio apartment, Glendale.
You know what I think your dark side is? You're too fucking hard on yourself. That's what
I'm hard on myself. I'm working on it.
You're hard on yourself, man. This is a sad thing. It's like these fucking girls, they probably love you, man. But you, like, you think it's bad because you live in a studio apartment. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'm sick of these
fucking capitalist cocksuckers gauging the worth of a man by the size of his apartment. I have a dream that one day we will exist in a world where the size of a man's apartment is no more important than the size of his penis. Wait.
That doesn't work. That's just average. I had a point I was going to make. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It would be great if people were just more upfront, like on the first date.
Yes.
Like, I tend to be gassy, and you know what? I get male yeast infections.
I fart. I get male yeast infections.
Have you ever had a male yeast infection?
Nope.
He can.
I'm sure.
I've had them twice. It's awful. The first time I was like, oh, fuck, I got an STD. Like, I was like, shit.
What? Tell me about it. What is a male yeast infection?
Well, like, if you have sex with a woman you can catch her yeast infection.
And then what?
Or if you...
What are the symptoms?
It gets real red and itchy. It's almost like...
Tip of the cock, whole cock?
Shaft. Real shaft.
The shaft gets...
It was on my shaft.
So what is it? Is it like... What? Describe it. It's like...
It's almost like you have... You ever have jock itch? Like, you ever have a rash on your taint?
No, man.
You never had jock itch?
I don't get these things. My cock and my balls have been studied by scientists and artists because they're so beautiful. I'm known at LACMA.
That's, wow, I'm really happy for you.
At LACMA, you've never seen the thing where they compared my penis to this Michael?
That was your penis?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was your penis.
Yeah.
I didn't even read there was a plaque under it. I couldn't take my eyes off your
penis. Yeah, I've got jock fucking itch. I got jock itch. I've got it. I've had jock itch. I've had, when I
chlamydia?
Was. No, never had.
I've never had an STD.
I've never had.
I should have.
Knock on wood. I've never had an STD, but I've definitely had jock itch. And, my balls atrophied and fell off, so now there's just it looks like a wet old wet end of a cigar.
I just did a spit take.
It looks like when a firework blows out, it's just kind of like just dangled charred. What happened was I got so fucking horny that my balls blew up, and then it
actually... Wow, that's tragic. That's why, you know, that's, you got to masturbate.
What?
Yeah, otherwise your balls get too full and they
What's
explode.
What's masturbate?
It is when you wrap your hand around your penis and you
to
go
pee.
Back. No, but just go back and forth with it.
What?
Yeah, use lotion too. That makes
What
better.
Are you talking
like a hot,
about?
There's a... KY makes this nice heated lube and it warms up. When
so
you,
you're saying you like rub your dick?
Until it ejaculates.
What?
It feels
Does
great.
Does that work?
Yeah, I think
Wish
about
it. Wish I'd known that before my balls blasted out.
Man, this is... see, this is... I blame the Catholic Church.
How many times a week do you masturbate?
Easily at a minimum 7.
So...
That's it's usually one of my morning rituals.
Do you do it, when do you do it, before or after your shower?
Before. I wake up, I walk my dog, I make coffee, check my email, maybe read some news, post a blog, whack it. Right for a while. I wash my hands because I don't want to get semen on my... I was at a friend's house and I was like, he took a shower and I was like poking at his computer. I was like, oh, I look at... And then my fucking hands reeked of what I was like, oh, man. And, you know, and I don't want to say who it was, but I was like, and it was like, it was ball sweat.
I was going to say that.
I was like, I know what my, one of my good friends fucking sack sweaty, like morning sack smells like. I've never told him. And I know he was kind of fucking this broad at the
never
time.
Tell
fucking
him.
This broad. What am I, in the Rat Pack?
It was fucking... No, you could say what...
Suddenly I'm like one of those Jersey Dagos.
Oh, dude, that's
yeah, but it's
so
like... And then, there, you know, it was there was this woman that he was sleeping with at the time who I really didn't like. So I'm like, I got a combo of skank puss and my friend's nutsack. And it kind of comes back and like it was fucking pungent. It was rough.
Oh man, that's fucking bad. You don't want to know.
I wonder if I ever do a show with him and I follow him. I rarely follow him though. He's too popular.
You need to tell him what's up.
Ah, it happens.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, yeah, I guess it happens. But you gotta, guys, wash your fucking balls, man. Like. You got to do it. You got to keep yourself
clean. I guess
clean.
The last thing you think if somebody's going to jump on your computer and smell your nutsack.
You never know.
They should be, yeah.
That's a permanent memory, man. That's like...
It's pretty... It's in there.
That's like shining a laser light in your friend's eye. It's like going to leave a permanent dot on your consciousness. That's like a deathbed memory. You're going to be dying on your fucking deathbed and remember
I'm gonna
the smell
of
that
balls.
Guy's balls. That's not what you want in your deathbed. You don't want to think about that. You want to think about the smell of the beautiful flower that your wife gave to you on your 50th anniversary.
That's true. Chances are pretty good I won't have a 50th wedding anniversary.
Chances are pretty good you will.
I'm already pretty old.
Yeah, no. Things are changing, brother. You don't understand.
That's true.
The human lifespan is going to quadruple soon. We're on the verge of a lot of things, man.
100 years ago, we'd be near death.
We'd be dead.
We'd be dead.
100 years ago, we'd be dead.
Isn't that weird?
For sure. Yeah, it's very strange what's
our
happening.
Our bodies are... I forget how old you are. But, I mean, but we're kind of at the point where...
I'm 19.
Doesn't your day... God damn, you look terrible. Isn't it like that there's a point where your body starts... It's like starts decomposing.
Well...
Like, you're pretty much...
No, see, what happened was we don't really have a good basis for, like, how humans... are supposed to look at our age, because the only basis that we have is from a time where doctors were telling people that it was healthy to smoke, where there was no fucking environmental protection laws the way we have, so the cars were just bursting out shitty gas.
You see those pictures of old LA. It was like, it's not like smog now. You can't even see like a block on the street. It's amazing.
It was a mess. So people did not know about proper nutrition back then. They were eating like... really poorly. So, and also they were fucking, you know, working too much. They were working like in factories. So, you know, we don't really know what age looks like. We just know what it looks like when people are getting poor nutrition or people are like not living right.
In a lot of ways, though, I think that their food may have been like, now we have so many hormones and I try to avoid any meat with like
grain fed. You got to eat grain fed.
Yeah,
apparently.
And hormones. It's like people seem to be getting cancer. Like, I keep hearing of friends who are like, oh, yeah, my friend Toby's got cancer. He's 25. And it's like, people shouldn't be getting cancer. It's all because
processed
food and all this.
And sugar.
I ate a fucking donut yesterday, and I never eat stuff like that. I felt like, afterwards, I felt like I drank cheap gut rock bourbon. Yeah. I felt like fucking shit.
Anytime you get, you can't see, the problem is that Americans have in the past and still do to a terrifying degree trust corporations. And it's the dumbest.
It's amazing.
The dumbest form of trust. It's like that. It's the silliest, craziest thing to trust a massive industry that's just trying. Corporations.
Trust your government.
Yeah.
They'll
take care of you. Trust your government. They'll totally take care of you. That's why cigarettes are illegal. It's like the fallacy, I think, in people's minds when they think about it, like a pharmaceutical company, for example. The fallacy is they think that pharmaceutical company is being run by a group of people who wake up in the morning and they're like, let us create healing medicines so that we can cure the sorrows of society. That's not what's happening. What's happening is these motherfucking demons, they wake up in the morning, they go to the fucking, go to work. They're like, all right, what are we, now tell me about this antidepressant again. It's serious side effects if you stop using it, right? And they're like, yeah, serious side effects. Awesome. Okay. So we got it hooked in their brain now. So if they stop using the antidepressant, how long did you say? 2 months where they're not going to be able to stand up straight? Great. 2 months of vertigo if they stop using this thing. Now, what do we name it? Then they come up with some sweet-sounding name like Libertina. You know what I mean? They come up with some sweet-sounding name for this fucking poison. And then they start doing this ad campaign where it shows like a mother walking in the park with her kid as though like, yes, now your family life will get better because you're on Libertina. But really all that happened is you let a pharmaceutical company put a fish hook in your brain. And now if you want to get that fish hook out of your brain, 2 months on the couch, bitch. 2 months on the fucking couch. Those are the types of minds that are running our society, are running these corporations. It's the same with McDonald's. It's the same with cigarette manufacturers. It's the same with like most processed food manufacturers do not care about the fact that the shit that they're producing will statistically cause a certain percentage of the human population to die the most painful, agonizing deaths anyone can experience. And you know who else loves that, those painful, agonizing deaths? The pharmaceutical companies, because they're the ones who get to sell the fucking cancer pills. They're the ones who get to sell the fucking narcotics to blot out the pain. So you have two, you know, whatever the food processing places are, meeting, having this awesome satanic synergy with the pharmaceutical companies. We make the poison, you make the shit that sort of cures the poisoning. They love it. So the whole thing's awful. All you got to do is go to a fucking farmer's market or go to the goddamn store and pay an extra dollar for organic food. That's all you have to do. It's so fucking easy.
I know somebody who was against organic food too.
Who? Because
this my fucking ex-girlfriend. Because she was like, well, if we don't do organic, we could grow more food and feed more people. And it's like, yeah, okay.
What do you mean it could feed more people? I don't understand that.
That organic food is taking up, it takes a slower process opposed to like different kind of farming, which could be faster and rapid, so then more starving people could be fed. But you're under the assumption that somebody gives a shit about the starving people.
Also, that fucking thing, man, there's nothing worse. Whenever you start talking to somebody about like, this, you know, living a better life or the idea that your life can be better, you could change your life and have a positive life if you just like focus, inevitably they talk about some starving motherfucker. They're always like, yeah, but when I'm out in the starving kid. It always comes out. The starving kid in Africa is always used as a reason not to focus your will and visualize the kind of life you want to have. Because what they say is, a starving kid in Africa can't visualize a better life. Blech. It's like, maybe the fucking starving kid in Africa is an asshole. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have focus. Maybe he doesn't have a good attention span. I don't fucking care about the starving. In other words, if I had some special, if you were drowning, and I came next to you and you were drowning and I had some weird watercraft. And I'm like, hey, get on this fucking watercraft, man. I think I can keep you from drowning. And you're like, well, that watercraft wouldn't work in Africa. It wouldn't work in Africa. It's a whole different fucking place. And I'm sorry they're suffering over there. But it's like, So you're that fucking cunt. Is like, don't eat organic food. It's hurting the starving people. Like, organic food is what is making people starve. All these organic farmers are just starving the world. What does that even mean?
I wonder how much of the organic farming is corporate-based. Finding, because you see those pictures of people were posting of the CEO of Urban Outfitters, and he's like this fucking disheveled, dopey-looking goon. And he's like, he's very, very, very pro-life and all these. And people are like, I can't believe it. I'm like, yeah, the CEO of a major corporate, like, just because that company represents, their clothing represents your ideology and your trends, they just saw a market. That's all that is. Same with Whole Foods. They don't give a fuck. That guy's also, he was anti, like, all healthy. And it's like, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They saw a market, and that guy's making billions of dollars off of your pseudo liberal wannabe bullshit.
That's exactly right, man. That's and then what a wonderful fucking thing, because you've like the job, like,
and Urban Outfitters clothes, it blows anyway. It's like, you shouldn't be shopping there for a myriad of other reasons.
Yeah. Don't fucking shop there. You don't want to fuck. You don't want their shitty clothes, man.
Hey, fucking, I got my CBGB shirt though.
Ooh, I love it. I love that club.
I love it. I saw some girl with a CBGB shirt last night. I was like, really, we're still doing that one?
Dude, I went into Urban Outfitters, and I was having low blood sugar, and I bought a fucking pair of the worst pants I've ever bought in my life. I still don't know why I bought them. They were like these shitty fucking black corduroys, and like I had low blood sugar, and I went in
there. That shit makes me crazy.
Me too, man. It fucked me up. There was no reason to buy it. Like, I remember coming home in this kind of weird haze, and I looked in the bag. I'm like, what the fuck? You bought a pair of black baggy corduroys?
Like from like 80s looking?
Dude, it's just, it looks like.
Why didn't you return them? For, I don't know what else you could get there.
I'll tell you why I didn't get a great coffee table book. I didn't return them because you could get a fucking fake vintage camera, bro.
That's such a weird place to me. That
I could get a plastic bowling pin duck. Weird fucking shit that it just, you know, that people want to put in their first dorm room. They just decorate dorm rooms. It's for babies who want to fucking rebel or something. Right? Nobody takes that shit seriously. It's like if you have any, whatever the thing is that you think is so special about you that you use, whatever the, like fashion is a language. It's like a way of, you know, like the most overt example of it being people who wear jerseys. You know?
I can never get on board with that. Well, I own one jersey, and I think the tag is still hanging on it. I'm too embarrassed to take. Like, I'll never wear it.
Well, I mean, what you're wearing now, it's its own form of jersey. I can look at what you're wearing now. If I'm a corporate expert at this stuff, I can look at what you're wearing, and I could probably tell you where you like to shop. I could probably tell you what books you've read. I could probably tell you. They study this. They've paid
people amazing?
So much money to study this.
They did that. That's when like Nirvana and all that broke, and people were like, oh, yeah. They had been studying college radio trends for, like, they were like, oh, this music is on the rise.
Yeah.
So that's when the corporate record companies jumped on. It wasn't like this, like, fucking, and they explode. It was like somebody went, oh, this is going to be big. Let's jump on this now.
That's
they knew it.
It
was coming.
Because what it represents is they're these societal vibrational frequencies that run through every culture, and the closer you tune into that frequency, the more you become the archetype of specific memes that come and go in society. So like when you watch the Country Music Awards, what you see when you see the most famous country musicians, and the reason they look so garish and idiotic in the clothes that they're wearing and the way they look, is because what you're seeing is something that is artificially tuned into this frequency to the point, it's like a chameleon. They're imitating this societal archetype so that you get like the handsome, disheveled cowboy guy. It looks like, you know, you get that thing. You get the kind of like the woman who looks like she should be like standing in front of her plantation watching the sun rise over the fucking fields. You get these like,
it's kind of amazing.
It's amazing.
Because it's so, a lot of it's so dishonest. Not
it's
like
purely dishonest.
But I mean like it's not. That's why there's like no guys like Johnny Cash, because it was like, oh, he was a real honest fucking musician.
It's the
where these guys are like presented.
They're
but
presented.
People buy into it.
It's the human equivalent of the types of animals that can like make themselves look like a different type of animal. You know, like there's like moths that can make themselves look like the design on the back of the moth will look dangerous, or there's like animals that can make themselves seem much more dangerous than they are, and it's a survival tactic. It's really great. Like pufferfish, they can like go poof and puff up, and it's fucking hard to eat them, and it freaks people out. Or not people, it freaks out like sharks, like idiots. But so these people have what? So what happens is certain people, they, this is something Charles Manson actually said, which I never really understood.
I've heard him say some things where I was like, yeah, okay.
Kinda
that
makes sense.
Same with Ted, what's his name? Unabomber.
Unabomber.
You read his thing. There's a lot of it. I was like, yeah, you're right. And then you ramble and
then you
crazy.
Go into like 5 minutes of fucking inarticulate gibber, prison gibberish. But Manson said that the people here in prison, this is who they're imitating in Hollywood. They just can't handle these people. These are the real version of it. So when you see like a, you know, James Dean, or when you see like a dangerous figure in or I guess the current version of the dangerous, darkling, handsome person is Robert Pattinson.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
Twilight dude.
I don't watch. I have vague idea. Isn't he like super handsome?
Yeah, he's super handsome, but kind of looks dangerous. But like, kind of like, so it's he represents what James Dean was. It's like there's always going to be the archetype, and what happens is Hollywood or advertisers or whatever, they try to find the person who tunes the most into these archetypes that they've discovered, and that's who they use as a symbol to represent their product. So when you say I like this guy, you're not just saying I like this guy. You're saying I like this type of entertainment, or I like this type of music,
right.
And I like this type of clothing, and I like this type. It's all of a language that you use. It's a language that vapid, shallow people use to communicate. So when I look over and I see somebody wearing a CBGB shirt from Urban Outfitter, I'm going to have two responses. One, oh, fucking cool clothes, man. Like, I still like that. Or two, I'm going to look at that guy and be like, what a fucking douche. You really wearing that fucking Urban Outfitter bullshit? Both are fucking shallow. Both are like basing who this person is on their
true
clothing choice. Whereas, who knows? Maybe the fucking person underneath it is some kind of beautiful, brilliant poet, genius musician.
She was very pretty.
You saw a hot girl in the CBGB show?
Yeah, last night at the show I did. Very hot. Very hot. Yeah, that's true. And it's like if you would have seen somebody like Bukowski or Harry Cruz in person, you would have been like, and not know who they were.
Get
you would
him
have
away
been,
from me. He's disgusting.
Yeah. They're like, this, and then, you know, and then when like Bukowski got famous and he was able to sleep with really young, attractive women, it's like, that's even more shallow. Not on his behalf. He's just reaping the fertile benefits.
Well, it depends on why they're fucking him. Like, if they like his poetry, it's great. If they like it because he's famous, well, it's, I guess they're getting what they deserve, but you like they're getting fucked by. They're getting
a fat, greasy man with boils.
Yeah, they're getting mouth fucked by a goddamn guy who probably smells like a vineyard that got hit by a meteor. Fucking that guy probably.
I kind of question like, and I think he even said it like, I question how much of his drunkenness was created. You know, like it, he created an image and he sort of sold it. I mean, I'm sure there was elements of it that were true, but he kind of even alludes to it in some things where he's, you know, like this is a character.
Yeah, I've seen.
He says it in a documentary. He's like, in my stories, I always win. And it's like, you're saying, I mean, I think he said other things, but it's interesting because then I had a neighbor who was like a writer, and I would hear like late at night, I'd hear his typewriter and I'd see him like outside, you know, and it was like, yeah, you can emulate other forms of writer.
Yes,
so everyone globs onto the I'm gonna be drunk guy.
Yep.
And it's like, well, that's why don't you go blow Gore Vidal like Kerouac did, or run with the bulls?
Oh yeah,
like do something else.
You want to do it, fucking do it. You want to do it, go for it. See, this is the thing. Everybody wants to sit around the side of the fucking swimming pool. Nobody wants to jump in. Or when I was looking at this fucking exercise video with this giant fucking weightlifter dude who's like too gigantic, but I wanted to figure out if I was doing curls right because I like to work out. And this fucking guy said one of the most profound things that I think has been uttered by a human since the age of Buddha. He said, he's like lifting these giant weights and he's like, everybody wants muscles.
but nobody wants to lift the heavy weights.
It's true.
It's so true, dude. Everybody wants to be a fucking artist. Nobody wants to go crazy. Everybody wants to fucking come up with like the brilliant idea. Nobody wants to go into the waters where you got to fish for that shit. It's like wanting to catch a giant octopus and going fishing at the fucking fountains in Vegas. It's like you got to go into the fucking dangerous, deep, dark waters of the world if you want to fucking get the inspiration. You're not going to get it from fucking wearing your goddamn CBGB shirt and typing into the typewriter you bought at the fucking thrift store while meanwhile you're like, all you're doing is going around to bars and trying to fucking pick up pussy. You know, all you're doing is just skating on the very surface. You got to go nuts. You got to go fucking...
Have you gone nuts, Duncan?
I think that I have.
I have. I know I have. I've had some pretty dark fucking moments.
I don't call it... I mean, I don't... Honestly, I don't think the word for it is like going crazy. I just think it's like you have to... There's certain thoughts. There's a series of thoughts that you have to start allowing yourself to have that if you told people that you were having these thoughts, if you told certain people that you were having these thoughts, they would be like, well, you have lost your mind. Is what they would say to you. Meanwhile, these are the same people who are fucking deeply in debt to the banks, who are eating shitty processed food, and who are in miserable relationships and marriages, and who think it's okay for our country to drop bombs on people in other countries. You know what I mean? Who's fucking crazy? Who's crazy? You know, the people who run the party line, the fucking people are like, yeah, you know, from time to time, we have to drop drones on children in Afghanistan. From time to time, we have to turn Afghani toddlers into hamburger meat. Or the person who's like, we should not ever be at war. We're being run by the prison industrial complex or the military industrial complex, and the pharmaceutical companies and the prison industrial complex have created a satanic synergy between each other that is sucking the joy and the life out of our planet. You say that to certain people and you're like, you fucking conspiracy theorist, what are you talking about, you fucking nut?
What are you, a fucking Unabomber?
I've been accused of being a communist and stuff for saying, and it's like, what, you're out of your fucking mind? The inmates are running the asylum, yeah, Duncan. Man.
Yeah, but they are running the fucking asylum. I mean, the truth
is, it's weird how people just, like, again, it goes back to that, people just trust. Like, people just assume, like, when people, I saw some guy, like, assuming a politician is going to be great. Like, somebody posted the other day, like, Ron Paul, sometimes he just makes too much sense. It's like, you're out of your fucking mind. None of them. Are going to ever be in, they say it and people go, yeah, fucking change. And it's like, it's not going to change.
Well, no, it can change.
It can, but I don't think it's going to happen that way.
It won't happen through them. It's not going to happen through those old fucking goddamn false prophets and greedy people. And at the very best, they're just like deluded. You know, the best of them are deluded. The worst of them are power-hungry enslavers who want to rise to power so their corporate friends can get pay cuts. And that's it. That's their main goal. But that's the other thing, is the fixation on the political system and the fixation on the meta is the very thing that's keeping it from changing. Because people are like, I'm watching the fucking... Look, guys, we know the elections don't change shit. We know that it's not going to change anything. We know that the wars will continue no matter who gets fucking elected, because the way that they get elected is by going through a series of initiations that filters out the most honest and leaves the most cutthroat and morally bankrupt of them in the thrones of power all over the fucking world. That system's not going to work, and you're not going to change that fucking system. It's like trying to stop a fucking rainstorm by fucking throwing like by pissing in the air. You're not going to fucking do it. I don't know what that even means. But my point is, the real thing that would change it is if everyone started eating better, exercising, and fucking focused on making their lives happy. If everyone started doing that, or a huge majority of people put out the cigarettes, started fucking reading the important books, and started trying to evolve themselves and the people around them, my theory is that those fucking, what would happen is the people who are parading around in the public eye and in the spotlight would begin to look more and more fucking this clown-like and garish and freakish. It's already kind of happening when you see fucking Romney and his fucking $600 haircut lying to the world. He looks like a freak. So does fucking Obama. He seems fucking weird and cold. And Hillary Clinton, she just looks like a fucking... All of them just kind of look weird.
It's weird. They show like... you see Obama and like they'll show pictures of him like fist bumping somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like... Or like playing a practical joke on it. And since they're like, they always present him as like, he's just a guy. He's just a guy. And it's like, this is all calculated.
Yes.
This is, they've spent fucking millions of dollars coming up with that one photo.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. And that, of all the pictures, those are the ones that they picked. Like, they picked the fist bump pick because they want to connect with the people.
With the janitor.
Yeah. It's like, look, no matter what Obama's done, no matter what fucking Obama's done, and he's done some things that I love, but no matter what he's done, his administration just fucking raided Oaksterdam and Oakland, the How to Grow Marijuana University, was raided by the DEA and cops while simultaneously at some kind of Catholic college or some school, a gunman was going around shooting people. So the cops are down there busting farmers while meanwhile a lunatic is like going through a school shooting people.
Makes sense.
It's so fucked up.
The guy with the gun was fucking high on weed. Everybody knows it.
That's right, brother. That guy wouldn't be going shooting up people if he hadn't been smoking that whack in the baggy.
He would have been, if he would have just had a couple Miller High Lifes.
That's right.
And gotten a bar brawl like a good man's supposed
there
to.
There you go.
Back in the day
when we didn't have access to marijuana, you didn't see any of these school shootings going down. You fucking couple of shots of Jim Beam and come in at Columbine.
There you go home and you fucking hit your wife.
That's
and
right.
Kids.
Take it out on your kids, not on
that's the way he's meant.
Take it out on your kids.
Nam yo ho renge kyo, nam yo ho renge kyo, nam yo ho renge kyo, nam yo 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 renge
Vietnam renge
kyo.
Well, you know what, Matt Dwyer?
Yes, Duncan Trussell?
You gotta stop being so hard on yourself.
I'm gonna stop today.
Glowing light. You're a sweet, beautiful spirit.
You're
a great fucking person, man. You're so fucking cool. How dare you lash yourself with a psychological flog? Why would you do that? Is it called a flog? A strop?
Flog, yeah.
Is it a strop or a flog?
Oh, you get flogged.
Either way, take that shit off my baby's back. I don't want you stropping yourself no more. You got a studio apartment. Guess what? Do you have a studio apartment?
Yeah, but it's pretty big.
That
it's
fucking
really
studio
nice.
Apartment in most other parts of the world would have an entire fucking family living in it. Like what? You're supposed to have a couple of bedrooms? If you're proud of your cave, suck my dick. It's like being proud of your fucking warren, your burrow, your nest. Oh, look at me fucking two bedrooms and look at my nightmare. You're just a goddamn weasel proud of the grass you pulled in to your stinky little nest. There's better things to be proud of.
That's easy for you to say. You have a house in the Pacific Palisades.
Yeah, but I'm proud. But I'm proud of my shoes. No, I don't. P.S. have a house in the Pacific Palisades. That's a fucking joke. It's right on the border of the Pacific Palisades.
I actually have a very nice apartment. I like it. You haven't been in there, have you?
I've never been there. I'd like
it's
to see
very
it.
Big. I don't need much. I'm at my desk, in my bed, watching movies or cooking. I love to cook, ladies. Very good.
Oh, you are a great cook.
Made beef bourguignon recently.
But here, by the way, think of it this way. Who would you rather fucking hang out with? You know what I mean? Would you rather hang out with a guy who's got some mansion, but whose fucking soul looks like chewed hamburger meat vomited out of the mouth of a child who just got run over by a roller coaster and it caused the child to projectile vomit the content of its stomach onto the tracks? Or would you rather hang out with somebody who's got a fucking studio apartment, but whose heart is like some beautiful cosmic glowing thing? That's who you want to hang out with. You don't care about their fucking nest.
True.
It doesn't matter about your fucking nest.
My nest, I got a comfy nest.
It's not your nest. It's what's in your chest that matters,
bro. You gotta get some shirts made.
I know,
Get a bumper sticker.
We are getting shirts made. What's going on? You going on the road soon? You got any fucking
dates? I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to San Diego. No, South Dakota. I don't know why I said San Diego. And Idaho, I think, with David Koechner. And then Memorial Day weekend, I'll be with David Koechner at the Laugh Factory in Chicago.
Ooh, that's fucking cool.
I'm excited because it's my hometown.
Hey, Chicago people, you got to go see Matt Dwyer do stand-up comedy. He is so fucking funny and so fucking dark, and he crushes. You got to go see. Where's your, what's your blog?
You know, I can't. It's on. I always link it to my blogs to, on my Twitter. It's on.
So I'll have it on my.
It's
so
super duper meant
to watch. Go to DuncanTrussell.com, and I'm going to have a link to Dwyer's blog and to his show dates so you can get some tickets to go see this beautiful man. God bless all of you. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
And remember. Alvin Wainwright's Baby in the House from album 2. You can buy it on iTunes.
Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby will not be fooled. It's a thing brand new, does what it wants to until you get it schooled. Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby will play for real. If your I love you is an IOU, don't expect to get a good deal. So look out, mama. Look out, Dad, your bundle of joy will not be had if the blanket is blue or if the blanket is pink. You best watch what you do, you best watch what you think. Careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby can spot your shtick. Well, a coochie coochie coo is a lot of poo poo when you spread it on that thick. Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby is better than smart. It can waddle through all the stuff you do. Never mind your big head start. Be careful, there's a baby in the house.